This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Yak! Yak!
Welcome to another edition of Hip Hop Grew Up.
Right on.
What's up, man?
It grew up.
It did.
It did.
Slowly but surely.
Yep, it's time to talk about it, man. It's time to talk about it.
So we have a couple different topics. Obviously, Hip Hop Grew Up is our segment, radio show that's available on all platforms, iTunes, Spotify, through many versions of, I guess, sort of the middleman who delivers podcasts. But we're going, shout out to our people at the Yak.
It's the Yak.
A lot of different topics up there. I was looking at the website today, man. They got a lot of topics. We love the Yak.
Yes, so we came to make our contribution. And
what's that about? Hip hop grew up. Explain, Mr. Blake.
The hip hop generation and the culture as it's documented is in its 40s, which means there are generations below it now. And what do those generations receive from the experience and expertise and the wisdom of, you know, the generation that is their parents? So now, if you were born between 65 and 84,
yes,
you're an elder. And what is it that, you know, what's the benefit of your identity, your culture, your manhood, womanhood, personhood, your humanity? How's that position with young people as a result? How's that working out for you?
Exactly.
That right there.
I got a message on my computer and I got to figure out how to turn that off. But man,
I like
that
the timing.
Right time.
Yeah. Like, that was freaky.
That was crazy. And I should have it on silent, but anyway.
That was real?
That was
magic.
I meant to put that in there. It's part of the sound bites, y'all.
It's the Yak. Hip hop grew up. Wow.
Anyway, so we got a couple of different topics. Obviously, we're reaching out to people who've been listening to hip hop for a long time, like Babu said, since the 40s. Not just kidding. For 40 years, not since the 1940s. But, you know, hip hop's attracting more than one generation. So we're trying to figure out who are the people that are putting back into the youth, putting back into our young communities. And we got a couple of different topics, the first being what?
Right. Well, that's the first one. The question of what are the adults doing? And
topic one
involves a brother who's from, by my view, the greatest rap group of all time.
Okay. And that is?
You tell me.
Big Boy.
There Outkast. It is. There it is. Outkast. Big Boy's son is committing to Oregon.
Okay. And let's just back up a little bit. Outkast is the group that brings you a diamond album. Right. Huge. Their first big hit was in, what, 94? Right.
Absolutely.
And they're from Atlanta.
Dungeon Family, La Face.
Exactly. Hey Ya was like a big song that crossover people who don't listen to hip hop would know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The Way You Move.
Right.
Same album. So they had huge, huge, huge hits.
Right. And those are far removed from the original, you know, records. Mm-hmm. That were put out as well. So just that whole first push.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so Big Boy, which is half of the member of that group, also just kind of almost like a godfather of Atlanta hip hop, along with, you know, Andre 3000. And just like, you know, there's so much music coming from Atlanta. Those guys are just kind of like big, huge pioneers.
Right.
Obviously, the biggest hit we know, Texas Regionally, has Outkast and UGK. Mm-hmm. For I Chose You, right? And so so anyway, Big Boy, his son, who's a phenom as a running back for, I'm not sure what school, I'm not sure if it's even in Atlanta, but he's an amazing athlete, and apparently what school is checking him out?
He's going to Oregon.
Okay. So he committed or?
Yeah, he committed 110% on Twitter at Cross Patton. So this is his son, Cross Patton, committing to the Oregon Ducks, which is cool.
Okay.
Because we're talking about a Christmas record, Players Ball. Like, it was on LaFace Christmas, and the record was so hot it just became a record, period. A Christmas song playing year-round. So that was cool.
Very cool.
Yep. So I think that's pretty exciting and more evidence that hip-hop grew up, right?
Exactly. The cool thing is...
Whole new generation.
I have a question about committing somewhere. So when you commit... I've heard of people committing and then not actually going.
Hmm.
Have you heard of the same thing?
Yeah. I mean, I've heard of it before, but I don't think that's what usually happens.
No. Most of the time they go, but yeah. I'm just saying for... I don't know. I'm just trying to say it's kind of like not super set in stone, but it's kind of like set in wood or something.
Right. I'm verbally committed or something.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like a handshake, right? Mm-hmm. But not on paper, but kind of on paper. And it, I don't know. I was just always curious about those things. So in the end, you can always technically change your mind.
True story.
But I don't know, you know, if it's definitely shouldn't rub... positively, you know, with other people, like, you know, universities that you just kind of like, probably doesn't look good, like kind of dishonorable discharge kind of deal. In my opinion, I don't know. I'm curious to see what people in the comments have about that, about people committing and not committing.
Right. We need Ketchum to stop by. If Ketchum stopped by, we could get the scoop on that. So look forward to some intersecting with the sports as well. Because, of course, there's a real good connection between, you know, hip-hop, grew up, and sports, and Texas, and Austin, which is how we got here in the first place.
Exactly. Which takes us to our next topic. Speaking of the University of Texas, one of the biggest songs in hip-hop is called Mo Bamba. And Mo Bamba happens to be one of the biggest athletes from last year's UT basketball team. Who, I think, does he play for the Sixers now? Probably.
Bamba? I believe he's Orlando Magic.
Orlando Magic, I'm sorry, yes.
Yep.
And so, the biggest song is by this rapper, again, from Sheck West. The song's called Mo Bamba, named after a UT basketball player who now plays with Orlando Magic. And apparently, this past week, or several days ago, Sheck West was here at UT shooting basketballs and shouting out Coach Shaka Smart. So I think that's pretty cool. You know, I DJ, and when I do play that song, people kind of go crazy. Like, everyone knows it. Everyone starts shouting out, like, jumping up in the air.
Right.
I think you've seen evidence of that. But it gets pretty wild. That's a big song. So, really cool that a UT athlete, has his name as a title of, like, the biggest rap song in America right now. What are you looking up?
I was looking up how Sheck West wrote some really cool stuff, just like a nice little piece of prose on his perspective in the game. West, from his own Instagram, back last year, last May, and he wrote, "When I was 11, I had a rap group named Mill Yorkers, with my schoolmates being from Milwaukee and I being from New York. I was really inspired by Kid Cudi, Kobe Bryant, and LeBron James. When I turned 13, I stopped making music and being a regular bad kid and started playing basketball more seriously, playing travel AAU. Basketball kept me out the trouble that everybody around me was getting in and made me more optimistic to play other sports and do other things. I worked hard and led New York City's PSAL in APG, I think that's assists per game, my junior year, and transferred to a school that ensured me free school. Basketball is one of my only loves. Here's some photos of me and my basketball moments with my team at Jordan Brand, hashtag Terminal 23, the league. P.S. I was the youngest player in this league at 18. And he's got a few sunglass emojis. Says, I am a musician now, in all caps. So that's pretty cool.
That's very cool. And able to write and reflect about it, I think is awesome and powerful. And I think that some of the big, awesome people in social media use that.
Right. He's smart enough to make a record to big up another guy that's killing it already. You know? And just make a song out of respect for somebody that he feels like, you know, is on the level and being comfortable enough to do that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Some people want to hype themselves.
And what I think is cool, the whole reason I'm bringing it up is hyping up someone who went to our school. So shout out to UT. Shout out to Mo Bamba.
Right.
Shout out to Sheck West for shouting them out.
So did we talk about that he's shooting around at UT? Like he's been around here lately?
Yeah, the past week I was bringing it up, but I wonder why.
I wonder why too.
My thoughts just from, you know, being a DJ and seeing, working for artists and seeing how other artists work. I think this is either shooting a video or at least he's getting some good publicity out of it.
Right. Way. But now that we know that he can really hoop,
yeah,
he might just be there hooping.
He was hooping. He was making a whole bunch of threes on that Instagram.
Training threes. So check him out. It's just Sheck West, S-H-E-C-K-W-E-S on Instagram is where we got it from. It's dope.
Very dope.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of Sheck West, I feel like there's always been a connection with rap music and sports.
Absolutely. Especially basketball.
Basketball. And more talking about like the biggest basketball player right now, LeBron James, right? He's always posting, you know, him with headphones on, him listening to music, and then the music he's listening to, he'll be jamming to, like, you know, people like, you know, Big Crit, Young Thug, Eminem, a lot of stuff that's kind of like big in the rap game. And kind of like when I notice a lot of rappers when they say, hey, man, LeBron's jamming my stuff. It's kind of like he's co-signing, you know, the greatest of all time. We never got that in the 80s, you know, watching Michael Jordan play.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get to hear, like, what are they jamming, you know?
Right.
And so I think it's really cool that in 2018 or just even sooner that, you know, people been just kind of pumping that up. I guess the first person I remember like pumping up music was Deion Sanders. Remember?
Right.
And Hammer. What were they doing? The Too Legit? Or he had something, right?
Yeah, he was just on the scene and Deion had some records himself.
That's right. Deion was making music and playing for two professional teams in different sports. So, wow.
Yeah. Didn't he have a Must Be the Money record at one point? Something like that.
Daryl Strawberry put out records too, right?
Did he?
Yes, I've seen one.
A lot of cats with money just mess around and put out a record, and then sometimes they really get serious. You know,
those are the early times. I remember going to one of my DJ friend's house, DJ Scratch Bastard. He's like always. Mm-hmm. I think he did the last do-over party back over in LA for the last World Series game. Anyway, he's from Canada, lived in Toronto. One time I visited him in Toronto and he had a bunch of weird records. One of them was Daryl Strawberry in, I can't remember if it was a Mets or Dodgers outfit, probably a Mets outfit, because like he played for a couple teams. And it was like a rap record and had funny different things. And, you know, we all know the whole story about Daryl Strawberry and his, you know, party life. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Going hard. So we just thought that this was just kind of like another narrative of that. And, you know, just seeing, like, I don't know, these new artists, like, you know, with headphones on and, like, it being very prevalent in your face. And then the ability to purchase music or stream it, you know, is just so accessible. It's just kind of like they're kind of feeding into the music culture and other kids are following. But it's kind of cool getting that feedback. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I just think the new generation is incredible overall. So on the one hand, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, Chris Webber, you know, producing for Nas, and thinking about how Shaquille O'Neal's probably the greatest athlete rapper ever.
Yeah.
Pretty comfortably.
So, yeah, I was hoping you'd look up something that it'd be like how many rappers were athletes or how many, you know, athletes do rap things.
Right.
So I know, yeah, Chris Webber, part of the Fab Five, you know, the freshman Michigan team in the mid-90s that, you know, went all the way to the national championship, you know, and they're all freshmen. that Chris Webber also played for the Sacramento Kings and a couple other teams. Golden State Warriors, I think, for a while before they ever won championships or, and you know, recently. So Chris Webber, yeah, made beats for Nas. I remember Camille and I were talking about, you know, Chris Webber has beats, and he did make a Nas album. So I'm trying to think what other connections of people in sports have with the music industry. You brought up Shaquille O'Neal.
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool back in the day with, like, Fushnikins and all that, you know. Were they from Jersey, New York? Or was, you knew more about that, right?
I believe they were from New Jersey or New York. But I just thought Shaq was dope. He had a lot of good features. He had a lot of good singles. I think it started with the Foosh Niggas, right?
Or at least, like, yeah. I think they broke in with them or something. And then, right. Like, I mean, if
Can We Rock? I remember all those records. They were dope.
Can We Rock?
And then, you know,
Can We Rock? Can We Rock?
I think the first record I remember right now from Shaq was I Know You Got Skills. Or You Know I Got Skills. Remember that one?
I Know You Got Skills.
That's the first one I remember.
Shaq was just the bigger than life.
Right.
Like, you know, just this tall, huge guy and young, but, you know, breaking backboards, shattering them up, you know. He had, like, video games. Remember that video game Shaq Fu? Shaq Fu. We used to, like, play be Shaq Fu on the Sega. I remember.
Right.
It was just a, you know, big, big thing in the 90s having Shaq around.
Right.
And just it's even bigger now with LeBron and these connections with sports stars. And then even now, like LeBron, you know, when the new video game, it's not Shaq Fu anymore, but the big video game that a lot of people from the second and third hip hop generation, they love NBA 2K.
Right.
Right. It's like besides Fortnite, NBA 2K is definitely a video game where many young people, especially, you know, people from like communities that we teach in East Austin, they love NBA 2K. And so, like LeBron is able to now like executive produce or make decisions for that game. Mm-hmm. One of his decisions was, I think he had Travis Scott, you mm-hmm. know, rapper from Houston, Texas. He had Travis Scott curate the music for NBA 2K. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. I was thinking about how Damian Lillard is also nice.
Oh, yeah, on the rap. Yeah, Damian Lillard does bust some rhymes.
How Kobe put out a song with Tyra Banks on the hook once upon a mm-hmm. time.
You know what I remember? I remember Ron Artest.
Hmm.
Right?
From Queens, from Queensbridge.
Mega World Peace. I remember right when that when they was playing with the Pacers, right? And then Stevie Jackson and that big old fight that broke out where they kind of fight with the people in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? I remember shortly after that, he dropped a single and got sent out records to DJs. You know, and at the time I was working at a radio station. He sent the record out with the note, and the note said, hey, this is my single. You know, and he handwritten it, and they made copies of it. And you're like, oh, man, why did he handwrite it? And so I remember him being heavily into music. I also remember him having a hotel suite in L.A. right by the Beverly Center. And when rappers would come to the Beverly Center to go shopping, he had the hotel really close to. He's like, oh, yeah, come upstairs. And here's a beat I got. So I remember hearing that he had a bunch of features from, you know, just being really close or accessible to a popular like shopping spot. And so whenever rappers go to LA, they're like, he kind of took advantage of that. So Ron Artest for sure. You just said Kobe had a single with who?
Tyra Banks on the hook.
Tyra Banks making, I remember she was in the music for a while.
I mean, it's Kobe who was dating Brandy, you know? So it's Kobe.
I remember at one time, this is like in the early 2000s, Oscar De La Hoya dropping an album.
Hmm.
Do you remember anything like that?
No, but I know why.
Why?
Because hip-hop grew up. That's why it happened.
The crazy thing about Oscar De La Hoya, right? He's like from East Los Angeles. And yeah, he dropped that musical album called, yeah, and it's like, I'm looking at it, it's like Mi Amor. 2 stars out of 5. Self-titled CD is a Latin pop album with 13 tracks in both English and Spanish. In 2002 he dropped that, so it's just very interesting, the connection with music and sports, but more importantly rap and sports. So I guess Oscar didn't drop a rap album, but I just thought that was interesting. I wonder if he would have, though, if he would have dropped the rap album instead of a Latin pop album. But
yeah, folks are dropping movies at this point, man. Legends dropping movies.
Yes. Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving.
Mm-hmm.
Dropping a movie.
Uncle Drew was a big part of him and his creation of him dressing up like an old man, juking people, and then him dropping a movie about old man playing basketball and getting Shaq and all these dudes in it. So I thought that was cool.
Yep.
But I just thought it was interesting that a Texas person is curating the music for like one of the number one video games. And Travis Scott, shout out to him.
The king of Texas.
Yes. And Travis Scott,
Festival.
Huge album, Astro World, just being, I remember going to Astro Dome in the 80s and watching the Astros play in there and having Nolan Ryan pitch and then
him. The legendary Astro Dome. Much love to Houston.
And right across 610, right across that highway was Astro World and Water World. And it'd be a cool thing. You go watch a game, you go to that theme park. It was
Six
really,
Flags.
Yeah, but really hot though. Have you ever been in Houston in the summertime? It's like 105 degrees and it's mad humid, super humid, you know? So it was, those lines were treacherous. You better had like something to drink. I remember those. It wasn't like Dallas, you know, it wasn't like San Antonio. It was just hot. So I remember I understand why it's not there anymore. But I remember those were good times, and it's cool that Travis Scott's bringing it back. He also is having an Astro World Fest on November 17th. And I was trying to find the lineup. The internet says it's not there yet. Apparently it's not released. I wonder if anyone in the comments can put some crazy internet information on who might be performing at this Astro World Fest. Please let me know. But I thought that was kind of cool.
What's the date again?
November 17th. So right before Thanksgiving in Houston. That should be a good show.
Right.
On Saturday.
Right.
I'll be up there doing after hours.
Right on.
Should be off the chain. A lot of things are happening with music, sports. We talked about a lot of these things. What's our next thing on the tab? Because I could not get this website to.
Well, right. There's so many OGs now, like, continuing to drop movies. I think that's a hip-hop grew-up type of topic, because 8-Ball and MJG, for example.
Yes, the rappers from Memphis, original.
I read that there's a legit movie coming about them, you know. Where there's a lot of just legends, 50 Cent, Eminem, and the Tupac movie, and the Biggie movie, and something that not a lot of people, I think, have seen, but Sticky Fingers did a movie. Yeah, he did a movie called A Day in the Life, and the whole thing was rapped. Like, people didn't talk in the movie at all.
Wait, what's this called?
A Day in the Life. I think it's something. It's just kind of like watching Hamilton or something, I suppose, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if they talk at all in Hamilton, but they didn't talk at all in this movie.
So it's definitely a rap musical, you're saying?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But a movie version. So 8-Ball and MJG, man. Legends, like, there's so many people living off that sound. Speaking of Big Crit, you know, and many others. That whole sound somewhere between Outkast, who we talked about earlier, 8-Ball and MJG, UGK,
yeah.
666 Mafia. Mm-hmm. Who am I leaving out in terms of just straight up, like, their sound was like just a OG South sound that you just will always hear forever, everywhere.
You said UGK. You said
UGK, 8-Ball and MJG,
Ghetto Boys.
And who did I leave out? 8-Ball and MJG, Outkast. UGK, just that whole little lump right there.
And then I guess No Limit.
Scarface, right, exactly.
Mystical.
Right, and on and on. So you just hear that everywhere now, and it's always cool to see that effect.
I mean,
you still got a screwed section of everybody's record.
I made money DJ Rapid Rick making mixtapes that played nothing but those songs. And at the time, it was kind of weird. A lot of people didn't listen to that. Now it's a standard. Now it's like 3-6 Mafia. There's like, they're like the originals of all these things. Gucci Mane
took over.
I remember Gucci Mane's single Icy, and that was just kind of like a weird, catchy thing. And that was, I can't believe that he just kept doing the exact same thing, making catchy Southern rap music. And people, and it's like, you know, people talk of like, oh, it's like, it doesn't have a message, or, you know, it's not real lyrical rap skills, but they're
classics.
Classics. They're all hits. Even that new one he's got with Bruno Mars. You heard that one? Man, I'm a jam.
He's got classics.
And he keeps dropping them. And those are like the new Godfathers of rap, where these like Dirty South, Gold Teeth, Drop Top, you know.
It always was. I mean,
Southern Atlanta. Yeah, you're right. You're right. When it goes back to rock and roll, it's all the same thing.
Right.
These are the people making the music and hits.
Yep.
It's Little Richard.
It's the blues. True story.
So
those are the legends.
So I wonder who's going to be playing.
Cool.
I wonder who's going to be playing at Astroworld. I wonder who Travis Scott, who's kind of technically the new Little Richard of the South of Houston. Who has he?
He's the Black Bieber, right?
He said Black Bieber because Bieber has a big, huge machine behind him that promotes and puts him on TV and things. It's even bigger than that because he's kind of married or has a kid with a Kardashian. It's a whole different level. It's a whole different level.
That's different.
Of people looking at you. My wife and all her sisters and my mother-in-law, like, tune in to that Kardashian thing. DJ this big club in Houston, they had Brody Jenner, and Brody Jenner, who's a, you know, a Kardashian by the Jenner Association, you know, has like, he's DJing Jenner. And has people coming out because of all this stuff. It's like a whole different millions and millions of people listen to watch and listen to them and follow them in fashion. And Travis Scott's wife is like huge in the makeup industry. Apparently she's a billionaire. Do you know that?
Yes.
So that's, I don't know, that's, I know Bieber has a lot of money, but I'm not sure if it's billions. So I think it's just a whole different
level of bluesmanship.
Yes.
Right on.
But it's kind of like it's your that best new blues, electronic. Like Lil Richard marrying, like, who's big at that time in the 50s that had all that kind of bread? I don't even know.
Right.
Like a Hearst.
The new.
I don't even know.
Yeah. But, it, you know, Travis Scott's brand of blues, it crosses over to pop real neat. And I think those associations kind of frame that as well. So
what do you mean it crosses over?
It just, you know, 8-Ball and MJG and those other groups we're talking about, they weren't, the legends, the not just legends, like the, there's another word I'm trying to think of. But anyway, those guys couldn't just walk out into Coachella, even though they did tons of great work, tons of classic, but you couldn't just walk to, you know, all these festivals. So it's funny to see the progression.
No, but a Coachella is, as much as it is a huge national festival, it's also a regional festival. So it's like those guys weren't big in California because they do have Tupac, Dr. Dre, you know, Dub C. They have those people open up, do things at Coachella. They have Tyga, you know, so it's part regional. Now, what it would be nice to see is a huge UGK show. I always thought, like, remember how they did that? Like, they always did that Tupac and a hologram at Coachella and everyone went nuts. Could you imagine, like, Pimp C in a hologram, like, here at ACL? Like, how dope would that be or something? You know, I'm not even sure, you know, like, if Bun would be interested or anything like that. Like, you know, Bun be... but I always thought, like, you know, like, what's something that we could push the limits and levels that, you know, that, like, things that our Coachella's doing or that Lollapalooza's doing or, you know. And I'm sure at Bonnaroo or at other places that's near Memphis, they have 3-6 Mafia do something. Those guys have huge hits, big, you know. Right?
I don't know. I would
Academy
have to
Award winning. 3-6 Mafia.
They're huge, but I don't know what type of festivals. I don't see their names.
I've been at a couple, like, but University of Tennessee, rocking somewhere. People know them. It's, like, big, and they got hits, and they all have, like, they know the crazy dirty songs, too. You know what I'm saying?
Right, so
like,
I'm missing them.
Slob on My Knob is, like, memorized by most people in, like, I would say a 1,000-mile radius of Memphis, Tennessee.
Right on.
Like, that's the closest thing I can get. You know what I'm saying? Just, like, in about an 800-mile radius of Houston, people going to know 3 in the Morning, right? Or June 27th or some big, huge Houston hit, you know? And the same thing goes for Atlanta. Or if not even further, just because I feel like Atlanta hits go further, like L.A. does, too.
Mm-hmm.
New York hits go further. 2 Chainz was a star basketball player in high school and played one season for Alabama State before focusing on a rap career.
True story. Tahit Epps. 2 Chainz. He's a star now.
Once upon a time, Rick Ross was an offensive lineman. Master P played in the NBA. Remember?
Master P did something in the NBA. Yeah, he definitely appeared in the NBA.
I want to say he played for the Raptors when they first were a team.
He briefly appeared in the NBA.
Cameron.
Which is dope. It's Master P.
J. Cole. While they play football. I don't know. I'm trying to find more athletes that do sports. Meta World Peace. Allen Iverson music, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Did Roy Jones, very Roy Jones had
Shout out to Smackola, who was always down with him on
Roy
the music.
Jones, yeah, and I remember he put out a couple records from Louisiana. I remember I remember the I Smoke, I Drank. I remember he did a remix or was involved in that song. Schoolboy Q, maybe. R. Kelly played sports.
A lot of folks can hoop, man. Kanye be hooping. Or at least he used to.
Wow. Now, athletes who rap. Now we're talking about rappers who do, you know, not the other way. Kobe, you said. Kobe had a song with who? Tiana?
Tyra Banks.
Tyra Banks, that's right. Shaquille. Mayweather. The cool thing about Floyd Mayweather, remember, he was managed by Rap-A-Lot in his very beginning of the career, and then I think they're somehow involved just because I see one of my Rap-A-Lot friends always hanging out with them in Instagram from all the fights. Seth's my boy, Nashville Red, so I always see. That is a music connection, right? Floyd Mayweather. He released a song called Yep in 2007. Charles Barkley. Wrapped on a Taco Bell commercial. Meta World Peace, I just said, like, you know, he had that spot in L.A. Deion Sanders. Primetime. That was the name of the song, remember? In 94.
No, I think he had a Must Be the Money, though. That's the song I remember. Must Be the Money, that type of song. Turning me on, like, off the R&B record.
Allen Iverson had a song. Roy Jones. Tony Parker had a French hip hop song called TP. Delonte West, William Perry. That's right, William the Refrigerator, right?
Yeah, Super Bowl Shuffle too.
Yeah.
His whole team. Remember?
Chris Webber. He had a rap album and produced 2 tracks for Nas. I remember what I was talking about. Daryl Strawberry recorded the track Chocolate Strawberry.
Daryl Strawberry.
You see Daryl, he can hit.
You just came in a lot clearer on your mic, sir.
I know. I need to step up a little bit. Gary Payton. I remember Master P, of course. Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd
on Stephon the mic. Stephon Marbury. It even says Malik Sealy.
That's old school. You probably don't even know who that is.
Andre Rison. He had a girlfriend named
Lisa Lopez, who's a very underrated MC.
And she was super, part of the group.
Super dope rapper, Lisa Lopez. Lisa Left Eye Lopez. Super dope rapper.
Member of the group.
TLC.
Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls. I remember when Dungeon she dated Family. Andre Rison, and I remember she burned his house down because she said he was cheating on her.
True story.
So our connection with rap and the, you know, sports.
Right on.
Dexter McCluster. Wow. There's like a good 50 rap like athletes out here that I found. I'm kind of blown away.
I mean, that's a logical intersection, man. It's always been there. So it's cool to say the way everything evolves over time, because hip hop grew up. Now we can look at different generations.
Exactly.
It's the first time this has ever been the case. It's kind of cool.
Very cool. We're going to come in next week with more stories of athletes, sports, hip hop, our generation, what we're doing for our young communities. I'm DJ Rabbit Rick, and that is...
I'm Bavu Blakes, and this is...
Hip-Hop.
Hip-Hop Grew Up.
Hip-Hop Grew Up.
On the Yak.
Bye-bye.
Pop, 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 pop